Fancy brings a thought to me of a flower so bright and fair. Grace and beauty.
Mitch Gallo, busted by our liner voice.
Who is that guy? Where can I find him?
Welcome back. We are at Hurley's Irish Pub, 1225 Crescent Street, until 6 o'clock, the Friday scrum. I forgot to ask you because we had Jim Hindley, the Irishman of the Year, with us right off the top. Normally, I turn to Rod on a Friday, and I ask him about the Friday scrum sliding scale. We'll get to that after 4 o'clock. Dan Robertson, the voice of the Canadians, is here as well. And after 4, Pat Hickey, Arpin Basu, Sean Gordon will be joining us. And we will talk to Pierre on the phone, as per usual, after 5 o'clock. Just wondering, between the four of us here, how often in the last couple of years did we go to Cap Geek?
Every day.
Yeah, I was going to say, like,
several
often,
times a week.
How,
yeah.
how many times on a daily basis?
Any time a player's name that would come up, right? Maybe the Canadians should go after the Sedin twins. Cap Geek, 4 years left, $8.3 million per contract. How can we work that in? Let's look at the comparisons. It was such like a universal accessory that we would all go to almost immediately.
How many times would you be at a place like Hurley's Irish Pub and you're having a conversation with your buddies and you're like, oh, Thomas Plekanec makes $4.5 million a year, and then someone says, no, he doesn't. He makes $5.5 million, and then you have an argument. Okay, let's just go to capgeek.com. And check, and well, it was the best website for hockey fans.
Dan, who was Cap Geek?
Cap Geek was Matthew Wiest, and he passed away yesterday. He was 37 years old, and I got to know Matt by covering the Halifax Mooseheads. So I would do play-by-play for some of their games, but not all. And I would often sit with him and Willie Palov, who writes for the Herald, and you know we'd have some fun and talk hockey and that sort of thing, and then. During intermissions, we would chat, and I'd see him. He would cover other sports that I would call. So, you know, you build that relationship over the years, and, you know, we got to be buddies and colleagues. And Matt was incredible because, everybody loves to puff their chest out and say, I did this and I did that, and it's kind of off-putting for me. I don't like that with people. So Matt was the total opposite. I think he'd had Cap Geek up and running for 2 years before I even knew it was him. Somebody said to me one day, that's Matthew Wiest's invention. I said, no, it can't be. He's never brought it up. So I saw him the next time. I said, are you Cap Geek? And he just kind of smiled and shrugged his shoulders. And I I said, man, that's incredible. You know. And he said, well, it just sort of fits what I like to do. I mean, that's the kind of guy he was. He was really a private person. He wasn't around the rink for a while, and I'd asked Willie Palov, who I just mentioned, did Matt get another job? And Willie kind of had an uneasy look on his face, and he said, you know, he doesn't want anyone to know, but he's having health problems. So I didn't ask any further. And that was it, too. He's private, like I said. He didn't want anyone to know he was ill, and then when we found out that the site had come down, we kind of knew where it was going. So, look, I checked my phone last night during a break and checked Twitter and saw that he'd passed away, and it was tough to take. It's tough now, and I actually mentioned it on the air. I didn't know whether I should or not, but then I thought, no, you know, he's so well known that it's worth mentioning. And the best part is he was just a really nice, humble man.
What did he do?
Matt was a sports writer and a very good one. He worked for the Halifax Daily News, which has since folded, and then went on to the Metro. But it was, look, he was tremendous. I mentioned Willie again. The people in Halifax, I don't think they realized what great coverage they had with those two writers. And, you know, I talked to Willie actually around December when the site came down, when Matt couldn't do it anymore. And he said, you know, we had a friendly competition. He said, I always knew that Matt was very close to he would scoop me often, and he made me sort of raise my game and that sort of thing. So those guys were friends in the same business and working for separate papers. We see it all the time, but you know, you become friends with those guys. But that's who he was. He was a terrific writer who just happened to create this incredible tool on the side that fans loved, and management and just the entire hockey world. So it's really incredible.
Yeah. So how did you know who his sources were eventually? Did he let on anything about how he managed to gather this information? Were even executives of NHL teams would use CapGeek?
No, I didn't know, and I didn't even ask him because I knew what he was like, and I think it was a respect thing. I just wouldn't go and ask him that, and he was so quiet. I mean, he just doesn't fit the image of somebody, at least in my opinion, who would have that information and would be a sort of an inside guy. So that's part of what made him so interesting to me.
Well, yeah, and the info that was available for all to see, totally public on the site, was so much more than just the top line $16 million over 4 years, right? It was the no-trade clause. It was the no-move clause open to 12 teams that only becomes effective come July 1st.
Make your own trade.
You could. It was incredible, and considering the way the advertising market is shifting from traditional media to online media, I'm sure he had tons of opportunities to really monetize this site and cash in, and it doesn't look like he took those chances.
No, I don't think he did, and I know that certainly wasn't his interest. And I saw somebody actually did an interview with him. It might have been for his own paper at the time to talk about it. And, you know, again, he just kind of downplayed it. He said, well, that's the way I my brain works. He said, I like to write, but I have that kind of an analytic side too. And he just kind of, you know, shrugged his shoulders about it. But, you know, the thing that got me about Matt, I hadn't heard from him in a long time because he was ill, and I was wondering how he was, but I wasn't going to contact him. So I got this job, and, you know, I was here for a few days, and I got an email from Matt. And I actually looked at it today, and it was hard to look at, but he said, you know, I just wanted to contact you. He said, since I took ill and hadn't been able to work anymore, I watch a lot more TV. And that was my old job, TV play-by-play. And, you know, he went on to say some really nice things and, you know, wish me the best. And I just thought, wow, that's something. I know that he wasn't well at all at that time. It's not that long ago, in October. So, you know, that was Matt to a T. And again, a private guy. And it's just, boy, you know, you look online and so many people from the Halifax area and beyond are passing on their condolences today. So it's a difficult time.
I just can't get over the impact that he had on the game. Like, we're talking about the website amongst fans and media people. I believe it was Peter Chiarelli of the Boston Bruins. He actually had a quote 2-3 days ago talking about how much he missed CapGeek. This is the general manager of the Bruins going to CapGeek for information about the other teams. I would assume he would know his own team, but he's looking at salaries through CapGeek.
Yeah, well, that would... He was looking for some help since he's kind of mismanaged the salary cap in Boston the last few years. He's reaching out to Matt there. So this, what do you think he would make of this outpouring of love and affection from the hockey world?
His brother Ben tweeted today that Matt would want donations to fight cancer.
He died of colon cancer.
He did. And I thought, yeah, that seems about right. It would probably... You know, he would deflect the praise, I would guess, because he did when he was with us. And you know, I remember saying to him, Matt, you know, what you're doing is incredible. And he just kind of, you know, he appreciated it, but he shrugged it off. So I think that's it. But, I mean, it's a guy, he did it out of his apartment. And look at the impact he's had. John Sedgwick and I had a discussion about it in Minnesota, and John knew Matt. And just he went on to say how important he was in the hockey world, I think. You know, in the hockey news, in the top 50, he was one of the most powerful people. I'm not sure, can't remember the year, but, you know, as we're talking about, you mentioned Peter Chiarelli. Obviously, he was just vital. But, again, I keep going back to the fact that he was humble and private and just a nice man.
Yeah, there's a reason why most people listening are only discovering his name for the first
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Yeah, it's and again, it is... Matthew Wiest. I had to ask him one time, you know, I hate to ask you this, but I only see it in the byline. Is it West or Wiest? He said, no, it's Wiest. I get it all the time. So we had a chuckle about that.
The voice of the Montreal Canadiens, Dan Robertson from Halifax. Enjoy yourself this weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by and thanks for sharing your knowledge.